The new comedy, See How They Run, is a whodunit for people who really, really like a whodunit. Set behind the scenes at a 1950s production of Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap, the film both is a murder mystery and riffs on murder mysteries, with a big cast including Sam Rockwell, Saoirse Ronan, David Oyelowo, and Adrian Brody. It's an entertaining send-up of every movie you've ever seen, where one by one, suspects are narrowed down until there is a big reveal. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about See How They Run on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining me today is culture critic and reporter Mark Blankenship. He is the reviews editor of Primetimer and the co-host of the podcast, logically enough. Mark and Sarah talk about songs. Hi, Mark.
Why, hello.
Also with us is Kristen Meinzer. She is the co-host of the podcast Movie Therapy with Rafer and Kristen. She's also the co-author of How to Be Fine. Hey, welcome back, Kristen.
Hey, great to be back.
All right. So See How They Run is in a lot of ways a very traditional mystery. It starts off with a mysterious murder behind the scenes of a London production of Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap. Just as a possible film adaptation is being considered, Inspector Stoppard, played by Sam Rockwell, reluctantly teams up with young trainee Constable Stalker, played by Saoirse Ronan, to get to the bottom of the case. They look into suspects, including the actors, the writer, some of the theater crew, the producer, even Stoppard's own past comes into the story at one point. Some of the characters are based on real people, many aren't. The cast includes Ruth Wilson as producer Petula Spencer, Harris Dickinson as dashing leading man Richard Dickey Attenborough, Pearl Chanda as leading lady Sheila Sim, Adrian Brody as American film director Leo Kopernik, and David Oyelowo as writer Mervyn Cocker Norris. It takes some very meta swings at the very idea of a murder mystery while also playing out its own version of a very Agatha Christie-inspired story. See How They Run is in theaters now. Mark, because you're a theater guy, I'm going to go to you first. What did you think of this movie?
Okay, I want to just make it clear. I come to you as someone who watched every episode of Elementary, the admittedly subpar CBS Sherlock Holmes show starring Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu.
Sure.
But I watched every one because I have a very low bar for a whodunit.
Yeah.
And for me, having seen The Mousetrap in the West End in like 2019, I felt like this frothy bit of entertainment was designed just for me because there is a charming, very self-aware mystery. There are thousands upon thousands of theater in-jokes. For instance, Tom Stoppard, the playwright, wrote a parody of The Mousetrap called The Real Inspector Hound. And at one point, someone is speaking to Detective Stoppard about a brutish man. And they say to him, "He was a real hound, Inspector." And then a gong sounds in the background. And hearing me describe that, you're either in or out on this movie, I think, almost from that one joke. But for me, I was totally in. I loved the silly, self-aware quality of it. And I thought the mystery was compelling enough. Again, I do not need much from a whodunit to be invested, and the spry charm of this one gave me what I wanted.
All right. Kristen, I have it on some good authority that you were perhaps somewhat more negative than Mark on this movie. Tell me what's up with you and See How They Run.
Yeah, well, I hated this movie. I hated it so much. I didn't feel that there was a good mystery at the heart of it. There weren't enough strategic breadcrumbs to keep the audience interested or guessing. It's not a good send-up as far as like the characters being enjoyable because most of the characters are just archetypes. Most of them completely lack any roundness or anything beyond just I'm a stereotype of something. The references it's making to The Mousetrap are not going to work for anyone who's never seen The Mousetrap. And, you know, there is a lot of self-referential stuff there. And the most interesting character, hands down, played by Adrian Brody, we just don't get enough of. We get very, very little of him. And he is the most delicious, funny, reprehensible, and yet charming character in the whole thing. And there's just not enough of him.
Yeah, I hear you. I think I came down somewhere in between the two of you, but I think I did find it like very satisfying and fun. It's funny, they released this into theaters, and one of the things that I thought about was like, this to me is right at the level of a streaming movie, which is like not a thing that I necessarily used to have a bar for. But this kind of like low stakes, to me, kind of chill, not particularly visually sparkling, but like to me, really kind of comfy to watch. Mm-hmm. And I got to watch it at home, right, for critic reasons. And so to me, that was a really good environment for it. But I did find it amiable. And my fondness for it came down a lot to my fondness for Saoirse Ronan. And I think it's a weird thing to say, and it's not something that I normally say as a compliment, but she's adorable in this. I just think she's so appealing. It's not so much that the character has nuance. I agree with you, Kristen, that most of these people are types. And I think that's because it's a genre send-up, they are mostly types. She is so appealing in her eagerness to help, in her kind of funny to me relationship with the Sam Rockwell character. She so badly wants to do a good job. And so even when I wasn't that invested in the mystery, and I agree that the mystery here is kind of a throwaway, I didn't find it to be a spectacular actual mystery story. But even when I wasn't invested in that, I was very invested in her and in her doing a good job and getting recognition and getting a win. Like, I wanted her to get a win just because I thought she was so cute in this.
Well, she's plucky is what it is. I love a plucky heroine. And I actually agree with you, Linda, that I am also very glad I got to watch this movie at home. And I was thinking later, this is the ideal movie for watching on an airplane. Mm. It's roughly 90 minutes long. It knows that it's silly. So I feel like if you are in a low commitment environment like row 4, seat A, then this is the kind of thing that you don't have to worry that you're going to get interrupted in your intense viewing experience when they bring the snacks by.
Yeah.
But Kristen, I can also see your point in that I'm not going to tell you that this is great, especially not when Knives Out exists. But I still think of it as a delicious sort of low-calorie treat.
Mm. Well, I do think it's interesting that both of you two watched it at home because I chose to go to the cinema to watch this. You know, in the trailers, to me, it did look like, oh, this might have some cute visuals, some great artistic direction and so on. But it wasn't enough to make up for the film's actual content for me. And as delightful as Saoirse Ronan is, Sam Rockwell constantly just like loudly exhaling and not being interested, it just kind of, you know, brings everything to a standstill.
He's definitely the hangdog detective. That's definitely this take.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't help propel the story forward. It doesn't result in enough laughs for me. I have to say that in my theater, I think I was the only person who laughed out loud during the entire movie. And it was at a very early Adrian Brody line, just a quick throwaway line referring to this is what passes for glamour in these parts, you know, making fun of the West End theater scene. And that was the only laugh that happened during the entire movie in my theater.
I think that in hearing you talk about it, Kristen, even more, I'm aware that I am also a sucker for any story where you can see the hand of the author. And in this movie, the hand of the author is so clear because they're making references to the plots of movies that this movie itself is enacting. And I like that kind of meta commentary always. I find it just, I just always find it very stimulating. And yet, at the same time, I keep finding myself defending this movie, but also completely willing to acknowledge that it's not very good. So here we are.
Yeah, I have some of that feeling too, but I think when you write a mystery, I think very often the feel of the mystery comes to the writer and shapes itself. Mm. And the sense of like, here's a premise. I want to do a mystery about a bunch of people putting on the mousetrap. Wouldn't that sort of be fun, right? But the actual figuring out of what the answer to the mystery is another step that I think sometimes is a little bit neglected.
Mm-hmm.
As a person who sort of has written a mystery plot, it is definitely true that sometimes getting to the point of like, but what's the answer to all these questions that you have set up is sometimes something that isn't part of the initial story idea. It's just you like the idea of the mystery, the actual payoff is a separate thing, right? And this is one of the reasons, you know, Mark mentioned Knives Out. our friend Glenn Weldon referred to this as Diet Knives Out. And I think one of the reasons why Knives Out is so good is that the resolution to the mystery has its own velocity. This is a, you know, in the manner of, I suppose, Agatha Christie and most whodunits, it's choosing from among the available options. And I think the ability to twist the available options like they do in Knives Out and sort of reset the story in the middle so that it's a different story from what it originally appeared to be is a quality that maybe elevates a mystery a little bit that certainly this doesn't have. Mm-hmm. So I didn't find the payoff to the mystery to be that interesting, but I enjoyed the feel of the kind of, you know, the police coming in and questioning everybody. And it was sort of up my alley at those moments more than it was in the here's the payoff, as opposed to the, you know, the Benoit Blanc payoff at the end of Knives Out is so satisfying and wonderful. The definitely the kind of now we're going to tell everybody what happened is not nearly as satisfying in this movie. I can admit that.
You're right. There's never a moment in this movie like there is in Knives Out where you have to relook at something that you already thought you understood. Like there's never a moment where you're like, oh, this was a completely different thing than I thought it was. Instead, it's just, you're right. This is always what it looked like. And it was that one.
Right. Well, I want to ask you this, Kristen. Did you like Knives Out?
I loved Knives Out.
There you go.
I love a lot of whodunits. I don't want to make it sound like I'm a naysayer when it comes to whodunits.
No, of course. I was just curious about whether we were on the same page regarding some of that stuff.
Right. You are a whodunit booster in general.
Yes. Yes. I normally love whodunit movies, just not this one.
Yeah.
I think if you seek out this movie, I would say after it comes to streaming, mm-hmm. It has a lot of charm. I love that Saoirse Ronan performance. She can do no wrong to me. I think she's hugely appealing, but you know, set your expectations appropriately and it will probably be a better experience, you know? Well, we want to know what you think about See How They Run. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Mark Blankenship, Kristen Meinzer, thanks to both of you for being here.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, sign up for our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. This episode was produced by Ramel Wood and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello Come In provides our theme music. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about Don't Worry, Darling.